and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 309. How are we all doing? Kim beat Jonathan. Unheard of, Jonathan. Are you slipping? Are you losing your grip?
Are you losing your mind?
Oh, mine went years ago. Yeah, if I hear one more word about vaccine. Anyway, hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Sarah. Oh, winner, chicken dinner. Poor Jonathan. Poor Jonathan. Hello, Tracy. Oh, Tracy, do you remember the other day when we were talking about outtakes? And I think Tracy may have thought that I featured your mistakes more than my own. I got that impression. Let me tell you what I did last night. You'll like this one, Mike. I am putting together 60 shows for Brooklands. They are the 60 years that Brooklyn Circle has been going. It started off with 1961, and we've done two shows a week. God, how long that's been going on? About 3 months. A long time. Let's put it like that. So I'm doing another show. Can't remember which year it was. It was one of the 2000s. And what needs to happen in terms of production, I don't do it where I'm doing one show. I do it where I do batches. So I create a playlist for 2014 and 2015 and 2016. It got tricky after about 2008, because I'd never heard of half of these people. But never mind. So I'd done this particular year, like I say, can't remember which one it was. But I can tell you what the first song was. It was American Pie by Madonna. So my next job, once I've got like another 30 shows ready, is to go through the intro, the outro and the credits at the end. And they are recorded separately. So there I am, middle of the night, recording these intros, outros, etc. And I think I'd gone like, it was, I think, voice blind. I constantly made a mistake between the music of the movies. If I said music of the musicals once, to the point that when I came to the final edit, I realised I'd said it again. So I introduced the show of the music of the musicals, 1960s. And I thought, I cannot record this again. I've done it about 9 times. So at the end where we've got the credits and it says Brooklands 196 music of the musicals. Well, actually, it said music of the movies. It was correct. I lifted that and put it at the beginning. But the classic, and I picked myself up on this when I was actually recording it. So I thought Tracy would appreciate it, as it wasn't a Mike snafu, it was an Elaine snafu. I actually said, so let's start with American Pie by Maradona. Yes, I have this recorded for posterity. And I actually followed it up with, Maradona, what are you thinking, woman? And then said it correctly. So, Tracy, it does happen to me as well. It does. And I'm prepared to tell you all about it. Oh, CQ, Deb. Oh, let me just refresh that. I think it's missing stuff again, like it usually does. Right. I know, Kim, what can I say? I mean, where did Maradona come from? I know he died a few weeks ago, but even so, I've got it written down in front of me and I still said Maradona.
It's in the thread started by Debbie S, Tracy, with all those bitmojis. That's a new one to me, bitmoji.
Aren't they like the analogue-looking emojis?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, right, I'll have to have a look.
It's one of the replies anyway. It's an animated snowball fight.
Oh, Jonathan's got a COVIDiot of the day to be nominated. Oh, was this the one who said he didn't listen to the news? Oh, I mean, there are no words. He must have done, because if you remember back in March, the government sent everybody a text, including me. And nobody's got my number, but they did. There are no words. And a lot of them, again, did you see at the bottom of that, Jonathan? There was another idiot who drove 100 miles for a McDonald's. This is clearly a thing. Greater Manchester Police, that's where we are, revealed that between 3 p.m. on Friday and 1 p.m. on Sunday, they'd issued 110 fixed penalty notices for all coronavirus issues. I'm ashamed to live in this town at times, honestly. I'm assuming none of them was wise, sage young Jonathan, obviously.
Oh, we're flat out there.
We've overindulged in biscuits. Not heard of the pandemic. Yeah, I wish I was in that blissful state, Kim. I really do. I'm all over vaccinated today. There isn't one person. This could just be me, but, you know, given my history that I worked in medical malpractice, particularly with vaccination issues, I'm thinking to myself, the very first day, two health workers who were given the vaccination in hospitals had an adverse reaction. And I thought, well, given how many they're giving out, two's not bad. But that was it. We've now doled out over 4 million doses of this thing, and I haven't heard of one more adverse reaction. Now, come off it. There's got to be. Law of averages says there has. Not one word about it. But literally every single person that we speak to, see, hear from, see on the news, get the vaccine. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. And I said to Mike, if a year ago you had said to these people, in my role as Mystic Meg, as you know, yeah, I can tell the kit's going to arrive on Thursday when it was supposed to arrive Friday. So in my role as Mystic Meg, I said to them, this time next year, you will encourage the government to inject you with anything they feel like on the basis that, you know, you need it. They would have locked me up. And yet, if I get one more text from a so-called friend, soon to be ex-friend, telling me you need to push your way to the front of the queue, why would I do that? One, we've got categories and I'm not there yet. I'm in category 9. We're addressing category 4 at the moment. But if I push my way to the front of the queue, that would deprive somebody else who's clearly in more need than me. So if anybody mentions vaccine, I'm blocking them, Mike. I've had enough. You'll be put on my DND list.
You mean instant unfollow?
Yes. Yes, because I'm sick of hearing about it. It's not logical. Approach these things wisely, sagely, but carefully is my approach. And then I must get the link for this. I really must. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to get the link for this because I read it last night and I was horrified. One was the vaccine. When will you be eligible? Was it that one? Was it the one on the BBC? When will I get the vaccine? So there's all of that. Priority groups, blah, blah, blah. Then there's talking about teachers getting it. And then it says, are two doses needed? Right. In the bit below that is headed, and I quote, can different vaccines be mixed? We already all know the answer to that. The official guidance says everyone should get the same vaccine for both doses. However, in very rare circumstances where only one vaccine is available or it's not known which was given for the first dose. Pardon, stop right there. What do you mean you don't know what was given for the first dose? They track animals better than this. You get a pet passport and on it, when a vaccine is given, there's a barcode on the box and a number which is transferred to the pet passport in case there is then a recall on the vaccine or anything wrong with it, so they know which pet had which vaccine. But in a human, if they don't know what you had, then officially a different vaccine can be used. Right, who's up for that? Who thinks that's a jolly good idea? Because guess what? I don't. I'm going to insist I keep the box. That way I could take it to the second appointment and say, match that, baby. And if you can't, then I'm not having it. Oh, am I an awkward patient or what, Mike?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm logical. Oh. the person below you was having a party. Did they not invite you, Jonathan? That's criminal. It's a good job you're there. I'm glad you're... Because they were partying in the summer, weren't they? Oh, this is ridiculous. I hope they did something about it, Jonathan. Kim won't even drive a mile for a Maggie D's. Me neither. But that seems to be the standard excuse. Apparently, that's a thing. I remember the first lockdown when they shut McDonald's down. When it opened, it only opened
for... You should give that video to the police, Johnny.
Absolutely. It only opened for drive-thrus. And a guy turned up, didn't have a car, but he'd created a car out of a cardboard box. And they turned him away. But then later they said he could have it. You know, pure cheek. Oh, Anthony's come to the conclusion, good evening, Anthony, that people who had gender reveal parties are a bit thick, considering at least two have been responsible for major forest fires in the US. Is that the thing? There was one of those on a programme I watch. Something 911 something it's called. It's about a fire department in Texas. And there was this gender reveal party. And I'm thinking, is this a thing? Because gender's like a physical thing, but, you know, sexuality's in the mind. So why would you gender reveal a child? But there you go. Any excuse for a party. And it caused a fire. And it was something to do with, is it wheat inside it? Anyway, it landed on the Barbie and went up like Vesuvius. So I didn't know that. I'm so naive. A stupid state can't even get the vaccines out. Your neighbours are in their 90s and can't get an appointment. Well, MO, remind me. I'm concentrating now because it's quite a lot, isn't there? Is it Montana? Oh, it seems like a quiz, this. I'm thinking there's lots of M's. Maine, Missouri. No, that could be Montana, but I'm not sure. Let me know. They're in their 50s and they've got an appointment. We've just been announced today...
Missouri,
is it? No.
M-O.
M-O. What's Montana then?
M-T.
That's not logical. Anyway, never mind. We've announced today we're doing 70-year-olds, but we've not actually finished the 80-year-olds yet. It's just a thing.
See you, Johnny.
Night, Jonathan. Enjoy the party. Vicariously, obviously, socially distanced through your camera lens. Excellent. Oh, so 70-year-olds at the moment, but we know younger people who have had it, but they're probably clinically vulnerable in some kind of way, or on the front line like Rachel, only she's both. I'm glad Kim thinks like me. It's insane. Ask for the lot number as well. I want the box. I want photos, like Tracy says. Want the lot. But the thing is, by the time you've had the first one, if you're in need of the second one, what do you do? Do you just do without? If, you know, if that one's not available. That's why it should be given as like a part one and a part two, where basically it ships together. The problem with that is the Pfizer one... It wouldn't work because of the storage requirements. The AstraZeneca one would, though.
Mm.
I was an awkward patient years ago. Trust me, with this one, I'll be three times as awkward. That was because they offered me... first off, they wanted to give me some penicillin. And I said, I'm allergic. You know, it's written on the notes in letters about 6 inches tall in big red biro. And he said, well, let's just try you with it. I said, no, let's not, hey. So for a start, I had to have an argument over that. You shouldn't, as a patient, be put into a position that you need to be forceful, because not everybody can be. I was more than prepared to do without the darn thing, so I wasn't bothered. But I had to push and push. And at 21, you know, definitely out of my comfort zone, because I was in hospital at the time. That's a bit much. It's a bit too much to expect you to have to do that. Having done that, they then came round with it. And they decant it where you can't see it. So I didn't trust it wasn't penicillin. I wanted to see the bottle. They nearly had me committed. There was actually a mental institution next door. And I think on many times they thought about wheeling me over there. Eventually, they did let me see the bottle. And it wasn't. It was, I think it was erythromycin or something. It was a mycin. It wasn't a cillin. So I was okay with that. When they came round the second day, they put the you know, here's the bottle. They put the thing down. And it's like a little cup. And I looked at it and I thought, why are there four pills in it? There was only two yesterday. And I know if you are in dire need of antibiotics, they can start you off on more, but they don't usually change the dose randomly once you've started. So I said, is the dose right? And she looked at me daggers, and I said, I'm only asking because yesterday there was two pills. I said, now there's four. That can't be right. Unless it's been re-prescribed. She goes back, she looks at it, she went, oh, right. And it was two. So they were about to overdose me as well. Do you now know why I walked out? Me, my stitches, and no antibiotics at all. Had to wait 48 hours to get hold of somebody with a pair of scissors and some antibiotics. The doctor was horrified. It was one of the last times I saw the woman. That was the time I walked in and she said, oh, you're looking well. You know, what can we do for you? And I thought, looking well? I've just spent 10 days inside a lunatic asylum. So once I said, slight issue with stitches, slight issue with them, need antibiotics, haven't got any. She was horrified. They let you leave without giving you any. I said, yep. I said, actually, it was one of the things they did to blackmail me to stay. If you leave, you won't have any antibiotics. And you know, if you go and trouble your doctor, like over the weekend, then they won't be happy either. Honestly, it was terrible. Anyway, she was mortified. She said, you should have got in touch with me. She said, that wouldn't have been a problem. And I said, not a problem. You know, don't worry about it. And she said, well, as long as you're resting up. Well, I just burst out laughing. I left the hospital at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. And by this stage, it was 10 a.m. on the Monday morning. So she said, as long as you've rested, you know, well, after you left hospital. And I went, oh, yes. My mum looked at me as though, you lying mare. I'd gone to bed at about 11 o'clock, got up again at 3 o'clock. My dad drove me down to London, which is a trip of about 240 miles. Had breakfast on the way, went to college, did an entire day of a revision course, and then drove back. So, yeah, I'd been really, really restful. Not. Oh, I know me better, I think. When you had a back operation, they gave you antibiotics with some guy's name on it. Lucky for me, a friend noticed. What's wrong with these people? I mean, I would say, you know, I would say they know what they're doing, but clearly they don't know what they're doing. I also say vets are better than doctors most of the time. But when we went to this particular vet, we didn't reign with him long. We got outside and I'm looking at what he's given him and it was all wrong, wasn't it? The price was wrong. The dosage was wrong. So I've got the pills in one hand and my iPhone in the other. And I'm saying, for his weight, this isn't right. So we had to go back in. Needless to say, the billing issue, it was like twice the price it should have been. So we sorted that out. And then we said, you know, but his weight is this and the dosage is that. Oh, that's wrong as well. So basically the whole thing was wrong. So I had to scrap it and start again. Which is quite worrying. They also gave you his clothes. There is something wrong with these people. And the thing is, by definition, I know there are a lot of people that do go to hospital and they're not actually direly ill, are they? There was one, remember that girl that was pregnant when you had your kidney stone?
Yeah.
She thought it was like a trip out. Oh, but I'm pregnant, so I go to the front of the queue. And I thought, is there actually anything wrong with you? Because you've not stopped yakking yet. You know, she clearly wasn't in pain or anything like that. But those of us who only go when we're really, really ill, you're too sick to be bothered with it all. You honestly need a bodyguard just to make sure that they're not doing anything fatal. One got me. You remember I told you about the one that took 37 attempts to get blood? That was when they moved me. So I'm in this little room with a tiny ward with four people. And they need the bed, so because it's high dependency or something. So they move me. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. And wasn't it, I think it was around the Maybank holiday, it was boiling hot. And they said, you can't take the fan with you. And I said, if you don't let me take the fan, I'm not going. So there's me on a bed being wheeled out of this ward, clutching a fan in one hand and with an iPhone secreted about my person. Because you weren't allowed tech. So I had the tech-enabled nightie. That's like a nightdress, and underneath it I had like a pouch, like a kangaroo, strapped to my chest with my iPhone in it. And when Mike came, he brought the charger, and then I charged it up. This is what you have to do. Well, I might have needed to leave urgently. I did, as it happens. So they wheel me through. I get back to sleep. 20 minutes later, need blood. I thought, it's 3:20 in the morning. Do you need it now? Well, apparently so. She was still sat there at 5:20 trying to get it. So I was tired. So I nodded off. I'm then unceremoniously awoken with somebody saying, you've got to eat your breakfast. And what was the name?
Rachel.
Rachel. I said, I'm not Rachel. You've got to eat your breakfast. And she put some toast down. And I thought, I can't eat that. If you don't eat it, there'll be problems. And I said, but I've got a gluten allergy. It's not on your notes. I said, that's because they're not my notes. I don't know who had my notes. He took me, oh no. It literally took me about an hour to persuade this stupid woman. That's not me. And I said, I was moved in here at 3:00 in the morning. I said, there must be something with my name on. I said, because the lady came to take blood. When was that? I said, 3:20. And I'm thinking, I've had enough now. I think by that stage, was it the Thursday? I'd had enough anyway. And I thought, I'm going. Then they came round with another breakfast and said that was my breakfast. And whatever it was, I'd never ordered it. I turned round and there's a name card over my bed and it's not me. So they just dumped me somewhere. And I was getting, then it was, we'll come round with the medications. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm done now. I said, I need the toilet. So I went in the toilet and rang Mike and I said, I'll be leaving today. And he said, have you seen the doctor? I said, not yet, but I'll be leaving today. Just come and get me. So Mike was poised outside to rescue me.
Then there was a corridor.
At that point, they did have to give me some drugs to come home with. So I got this bag full of medications that I probably had no intention of taking. And the hospital's huge, isn't it? And I said, where are you parked? And you said, like, about 3 miles that way. And I thought, oh, God, I can't make it. You know, after you've been in bed for a week, your feet aren't up to it. You can't do it. So we gets along this corridor and I said, I'm going to have to stop for a breather. So I stopped and I glanced at the window and there was a bullet hole in it, which gave me my second wind and my third. I did the last leg in one go, didn't I? And what was Maya like when I got back? Oh, he was amazing. It was like, Mummy had been away for about a week, 8 days. Oh, he was all over me like a rash, bless him. But they didn't actually give me somebody else's clothes, Kim. So that's one worse than mine. So there is actually a part of a video of the gender reveal parties. I can't imagine. I just, on no level. I'm going to have to watch that. 21 minutes. I'm going to enjoy that later, Anthony. I just can't fathom that. I think I'd keep that private. I remember
it's
some
It's all
people,
the rage these days.
I know it is, but it's one of these things of like, is it that you see other people doing it on Insta and you want one? Or is it just any excuse to be centre of attention?
I watched, you know, there was a series about Tottenham.
Yeah.
I think it was a 6-part series on Amazon Prime Video. And a behind-the-scenes thing, and I think it was Harry Kane. So...
yeah, he's had 3 kids.
Harry Kane and his wife and the 2 kids, because he had 2 at this stage, went to Tottenham's training ground. And he had these big balloons tied to the goalposts, and he kicked a ball and the balloons burst and out popped a load of either blue or pink, I can't remember.
Let me help
confetti.
You out there, Mike. Can I explain why that gender reveal party was so important to Harry Kane? Because the 2 kids he had were girls, and guess what? The 3rd one was a boy.
Oh, like Victoria.
And he'd always wanted a boy.
Like Victoria.
A gender reveal party is when you reveal the gender of the child that you are carrying. Usually done with like balloons with like blue or pink confetti in them or glitter in them.
Or a pink and blue cupcake, as Kim says.
Yeah. There are no words, are there? I mean, so at that point, you're proudly announcing that the child is either a boy or a girl, and I'm putting air quotes on that, that they have the genitalia of a boy or a girl. That does not dictate what they're going to be in the future. Nor, do you know the kind of party I'd have?
What?
It's healthy. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
The gender really, really doesn't matter. In fact, did you see that? It was a story, I think it was Sky News, and it was this baby. and somebody had been charged with murdering this baby. And I thought, who would murder a baby? Why would you murder a baby? So I read the story. And there was a picture of this baby and she had such lovely eyes and a smile. And it said her mum and her family, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I know exactly who has killed this baby. But it didn't say. So I'm speculating. So allegedly, don't come for me. The one person it didn't mention was the father. Now, again, this child's barely out of hospital. So you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, why would anybody murder this child? It had a cleft lip and palate. And I thought, clearly, you know, given that daddy hasn't been mentioned, why would anybody murder a child? Well, when you saw this child, probably couldn't cope with it. So, yeah, gender revealed, absolutely fine. It's a girl, fabulous. But something wrong with it to the point that it got murdered. And it was such a lovely, lovely smile. Let me see if I can find it. It's the trouble with Sky News. Everything disappears virtually before you've seen it. And it's not there listed on the homepage. See if I can find it. I think that actually that was somewhere around here.
I guess you have another one when it's born, Tracy.
There was one I saw, and it was the biggest gender reveal party I have ever seen. It was a woman who had been, I think she'd got three boys, and she wanted a girl. So by this stage, they needed artificial help with it. She ends up pregnant with six babies. So they do the gender reveal, but the thing was, she didn't know what it was. So this was a surprise to her as well. So they've got six boxes lined up, replete with like explosions and glitter. The first one opens, it's a boy. She's like, oh, lovely. Second one opens, it's a boy. Uh-oh, she's starting to get worried. She's carrying six more boys. Third one opens, it's a boy. By this stage, she's gone white. The fourth one opens, it's a girl. Fifth, it's a girl. Sixth, it's a girl. So now she's got three of each, plus the original three that she started with.
It's on here about the fires, on Wikipedia. In 2019, Jenna Carvundisis, considered one of the pioneers of gender reveal parties, called for re-evaluation of the practice due to how it might affect transgender and non-binary individuals, also revealing her own daughter's gender non-conformity. After the El Dorado fire, Carvundis decried the parties and pleaded for people to stop having them. In September 2020, writer Alison Hope, a gender non-conforming individual, wrote in the wake of the El Dorado fire that the practice of gender reveal parties is pointless at best and dangerous at worst.
Totally agree.
In September 2020, a gender reveal pyrotechnic device started the El Dorado fire near California, destroying homes, prompting evacuations, burning thousands of acres and causing at least one death of a firefighter.
I'm reading what Anthony's put here. Waiting for a lift at Leeds General, and three armed police officers walked by towards A&E, and then a guy came into the MRI in handcuffs. It's a dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Mm.
I found the story. Would you read this as it was somebody close to the child? Because I certainly would. And I just thought, when you do your P year, your presidential year for the Catanians, you pick a charity, and obviously ours was Guide Dogs for the Blind. The year before, Stuart and Ellen did the cleft lip and palate unit of, was it Manchester Children's Hospital?
I can't remember.
One of the Manchester hospitals. Hello, Pete. Just discussing how dangerous it is to be in hospitals, even as a visitor. Anyway, this lift, the cleft lip and palate people came to the meeting and they did a presentation, you know, PowerPoint with all these pictures. And the reason that they picked them was Ellen had had a cleft lip and palate as a child and she'd been treated by this department. Anyway, they showed you pictures which were every bit as heartbreaking as that one. But they showed you the after photos and they were absolutely stunning. One of these guys turned into a model. one of these patients. The work they'd done was absolutely amazing. So it doesn't have to be a kind of, you know, scarred for life situation that adversely affects you. In fact, has anybody watched Strike? It may be the Robert Galbraith ones anyway, with Hardwick. What's his first name? Is it David? No, I can't remember his first name. But the one who plays Strike, he's got a scar on his lip, and that's what it was. But, you know, he's an actor. He can speak perfectly. Why would you not give a child a chance? I don't understand it. You try and avoid hospitals, keep making you go back. Funny that, Pete, isn't it? Do you think it's to do with being a doctor? Don't make me go. Oh, this is scary. Alex is saying the same. Guy handcuffed a policeman, followed by two other policemen. Yeah, I've never actually walked into that. Clearly, this is possibly awaiting me. No, I won't bother. We were discussing earlier Peter's story that horrified me, but then that's probably just me. But apparently not, because when I shared it, everyone else was of the same mind. Let me get you the link. It's the BBC one. It's about, have a look, just over half the way down the page. Can different vaccines be mixed? Now, I thought we'd decided that, but apparently they can. And it said in very rare circumstances, and those circumstances are where there's only one vaccine available. That sounds like a Model T Ford. Comes in black. That's what you're having. Or it's not known which vaccine was given for the first dose. How can that actually happen? Because we were just discussing the fact they look after pets better than that. So have a read of that. Handcuffs in an MRI scanner, not good. I mean, do they have to? Well, no, what they could do is use cable ties. They're plastic. Would they be okay? Rather than unhand them. You had six police bringing in one guy on Saturday. I thought the police were busy. What had he done? He wasn't going to McDonald's, was he? Under COVID restrictions. Oh dear, oh dear. Well, in the scanner, don't you have to keep completely still? Because I would have thought if somebody needed, you know, anywhere between 2 to 6 police with them, they wouldn't comply and lie still in a scanner. Strange, 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 honestly. What's going on in the world at the moment? I guess that's A&E on a regular basis, though. In fact, there was some, they called the, is it police they have on site or security? But they look like police. When my grandmother went in with a heart attack, and that would have been about, I was going to say 96, but it wouldn't have been that close because you weren't there. I was there on my own. I was the only one sober enough to drive because it was, you know, my gran. She wouldn't miss an opportunity to pick a special day, Boxing Day. So Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas, Dad would have had a drink. He would have taken Gran home Christmas night, which he did, and then he would have come back. So he deliberately wouldn't have had a drink on Christmas Day because he would have been driving. But Boxing Day, we never went anywhere. So that's when he would have had a drink. Mum didn't drive anyway. That left my aunt and uncle, who loved their wine considerably, by the box. Never mind a bottle. No. By a box. Boxful. So it was only me who was teetotal. So I got to drive and we got down there. We were all in the waiting area and it kicked off. And that was like the small hours of Boxing Day night. So it's a dangerous place to be. I think they could have put cable ties on him, but we'll see. When Kim was on call for the Navy, she got a call to come and ID some guy. You asked if he was dead or alive. They said he's alive, but we need a dental ID. He was in cuffs with two guards. Kim, that's scary. That's scary. Unbelievable. They were busy with this one guy. I don't know about McDonald's. He was born naked in 3 degrees and crazy as hell. This is what they've got to deal with, though. I mean, it is. You think of like, you probably think of police being like when you were a child, like Dixon of Dot Green. And it, you know, you never saw that in Dixon of Dot Green, did we, Pete? Yeah, my programme about when I was about 11, I think, was Juliet Bravo. I loved that programme. I was well into my... At the time, it was I'm going to be a policewoman because I want a dog. That was the rationale. Mum won't let me have a dog. I can't afford to move out. I know. Well, by that time, I was very young. But yeah, that carried on until I realised what was entailed. But it was, I want a dog. And she can't stop me having a dog if it's a police dog. There was the rationale right there. But, you know, the most, I think that the craziest it ever got on Juliet Bravo, because it was like a tiny little village, was glue sniffing before it was a thing. And that was about it. Other than that, the crimes were, one was a young lad who did a driving thing. What on earth is that called? Because it's not theft, that, because you've got no intention to permanently deprive. But like a joyriding thing he did. But it was with one of the old mobility cars. You know, the ones that had three wheels and were like a blue colour.
Robin Reliance.
That was the biggest crime that was on Juliet Bravo. Oh, Pete should write a drama, a TV drama, based on your experiences, because that one would go really well. If you could get the right actor to be butt naked in it, it's a viewer's dream, Pete. You just need to find the right person. So Kim said, can't you get his fingerprints over to the FBI? It was across the street. And they said, we don't want to bother them. Kim, you need to work with Pete on this TV drama. Oh, this would be fantastic. It's better than ones I've ever seen. Suppose COVIDiots are in the minority. Well, I'd love to think so. I love to think so, Alex. But the more stories I see, the less I think so. And I think with some people, it's like a deliberate thing. I mean, has anybody seen the Lawrence Fox fiasco this week? Let me get you that. Lawrence Fox is part of the Fox acting dynasty. So if you know Amelia Fox, that's his cousin. James Fox is his dad. Edward Fox is his uncle. Anyway, he's a bit, shall we say barking. He has opinions, don't come for me, that don't resonate with a lot of people. Let's see if I can find the actual picture in question. I think it was only a couple of days ago. He is not, anti-vax isn't even in it. We don't get that far. He doesn't, I think he's a COVID denier, potentially. Are these pictures sent to him or pictures he's sent out? And where were they from? January the 16th. Good grief, that's only a couple of days ago. Good God, does this man live on Twitter? There's that, there it is. Right, let me see if I can get the link and take you straight to that tweet. He bought this on Amazon. He bought it. He's just a complete idiot. I mean, if he does what he believes is up to him, but putting it out is causing set tos. And the first comment on this is replying to him, a guy called Mikey. Not related to our Mikey, obviously. I have severe lung fibrosis as a result of sarcoidosis. I'm extremely vulnerable to the virus. I have limited lung function, but wish everyone would wear a mask like I do whenever I go out. What's your excuse for putting me at risk? Because this badge that he's wearing is like a big lanyard thing, and it says I'm exempt from wearing a face covering. It looks very official. Just because he doesn't want to. This is the same guy who had a party for 40 people at the end of November. And then put it all over Twitter and said, and we hugged afterwards, you're all idiots. So, might want to be one for avoiding him. Pizza's fox hunting should be legalised again just for him. He wasn't political in the slightest until he got invited onto Question Time. And it was the Question Time audience where they'd said to him something about his white privilege. And he said he was a victim of, I don't think he said racism, but he could have done. I'm not sure what word he used, because he is like a white middle-class man. And it kicked off big style. And since then, he seems to have become like a poster child for the far right. And things like that just kind of feed into it. But I can't imagine many situations where somebody's illness, a lung function, is that bad they couldn't wear a paper mask, because it's protecting them. But I appreciate some people either don't want to, can't be bothered, whatever, and they have a medical condition. But, you know, he doesn't have a medical condition. He's just been a complete one of those. So apparently you can buy two for £8 on Amazon. Not that I'm suggesting for one moment that you do. Oh, Sarah remembers that episode. Was that the one where he was taking away the invalid carrier thing? Oh, what a series. That actual episode, there's a story behind that. I was married to this programme, absolutely adored it. And it was 1979, 1881, I think. I think it went on for a little bit after that. But particularly the first two series, because Stephanie Turner was in the first two series and I thought she was amazing. And that particular episode was about episode 6 or 7. So every Saturday night, I was glued to it. No DVD recorders, no video recorders. You sat and you watched it. And that particular week, a mum and dad very seldom went out on a Saturday. I have no idea where they dragged me to. I can't remember. But I missed that episode. And mum said, don't worry, it'll be on again. Yeah, right. No, it wasn't. I finally got the DVD box set and watched that episode, because I'd read the book. There was actually a Juliet Bravo book that was written from the series. So I'd read the book, I knew the story, but I'd never actually seen the episode till about 2010. Yeah, Mum, it never did come on again. You lied to me.
Have you seen Tracy's comment?
Who's married? No, no, steady on. No, 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 not that guy.
That is what you said.
Did I? Oh, right.
You said you were married to the series.
I was married to the series. Oh, yeah. Loved it. Loved it.
But Tracy only heard the first bit.
Oh, I'm glad, Kim, you were able to eliminate him as the suspect. Excellent. A good memory. You can't remember the storylines. Oh, they were... it was actually a really good series. If you watch it now, and I have done because I've got the box set, it was a little bit dated. But still, great, great stories. Great stories. So I have watched them beyond 1980 and 81. 79 to 81, I think I was glued to it. You wouldn't have thought you could have got very far joyriding. Well, no, this lad that was in the series, he was only about 10. And he was a dead wrong'un. If there was some way he could get into mischief, he did. He was shoplifting. He was taking this invalid car. Oh, he did all kinds of stuff. I think he'd got like 250 crimes they'd got against him. And I think the thing was they couldn't touch him because he was under 10 at the time. And the criminal age of responsibility is 10. So I think that was the crux of the story. Oh, my. No, he wasn't going that fast. Let's put it like that. Your great uncle had one. Wow. I only knew one person that I'd actually seen like driving one. And it was my uncle's uncle, I think. And he'd been in Northern Ireland. He'd lost an eye and he had damage to his leg. So he couldn't get about much. And he had one. So it reminded me of him. Did you know they used to keep those at Stretford? Near the metro station. Yeah, there was some land that they then built the metro station on. But when you went past on the bus and you're on the top level of the bus, you could like see over this wall, and the place was just wall to wall, those little blue cars. That was where they fixed them. Because they were electric, weren't they? I think they were ahead of their time.
I thought my dad was in Juliet Bravo, but he wasn't.
No, it wasn't Juliet Bravo. He was in that Liverpool one. Was it City Central? No, the one before that.
Waterfront Beat.
That's right. Wasn't there a rock something?
I can't remember.
He was usually the getaway driver, your dad. Oh. Amazon should be fine for selling those. Honestly, they just shouldn't, should they? I mean, that's just so bad. I can't understand why he won't want to protect himself. He's the kind of person I feel should volunteer for cleaning the floor in the A&E with nothing but their tongue. Like Pete said, Pete's very wise on these. Yes, let's volunteer Loza Fox for doing that and see how he feels then. I don't understand him. I really don't. I can understand having views that aren't popular and feeling, you know, victimised or whatever. But in this circumstance, it's like maybe he doesn't want to wear clothes, like the guy that came to see Pete. You know, is it his right to wander around stark naked? There's a guy in this country, he's a bit of a rambler. I think he's known as the Naked Rambler. And he's been in prison for like a year because when he goes rambling, he takes his clothes off. And it's not whether he should have the right to meander around naked. You've got to think about children who are on these walks. It's a courtesy to put clothes on. Luckily, in that picture, Loza Fox has actually got clothes on. But, you know, if he decided that he didn't want to wear clothes, it's a common courtesy for other people, as is a mask. And I literally can't think of that many situations where somebody's breathing is that bad that they couldn't wear some kind of mask. I mean, we're not strapping one of those, I don't know what they're called, Pete will. The ones that go all over your face, they've got an elastic thing at the top that goes around your head and then like a pipe coming out of it. And it really is like clamped on you and it looks like that thing from, what's that film where it came out the stomach and then grabbed onto Alien. The face? Alien. The mask looks like an alien mask. I mean, that I can understand. Because I've not got good memories. When you're having an operation as a child and they put like the mask over you with like a little green thing that you can see. No, I'm not keen on that either. But a fabric face mask is a totally different business. So I can't imagine many illnesses. Like the guy who's saying he's got sarcoidosis and he's wearing a mask. He's got reduced lung function and he's wearing a mask. The guy wants locking up.
Gimp mask.
Oh, is it a gimp mask? Oh, right. Yeah, one like that. There was a. Do you remember that thing that George did? I can't remember what the darn thing was called now. George being my favourite actor. All right, let's have a look. He did a very short film, only a 10-minute thing.
Antonio's Breakfast.
That's it, Antonio's Breakfast. And it was about a young lad who was caring for his father. And when you saw the pictures from this thing, it was horrific. This guy had COPD. There were some pictures from that, weren't there?
On the site.
It could be on the site or they could be somewhere else. But there was definitely a picture of him.
The thing's on YouTube.
Let's see. That way I can show Pete what this mask actually was. Oh, crying out loud. Come on. Back where we were. Let's get that. Obviously is a thing.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. Yeah. Right, stop that, take a screenshot, get it to Pete. One of those. Well, you might call it a gimp mask. Oh, they weren't electric. Oh, I thought they were. Why did I think they were? Maybe he had a different one.
I could just put a link to the time, couldn't I?
You could, right click and do that. Juliet Bravo was filmed near Alex. So funny that when they started walking down the street, when they reached the other end of the street, usually a couple of miles away. What got me with it was there was one episode and someone had thrown a bike through the window of Jean Darbley's office. And when you're on the outside, you see the window and it's like slightly down, like it's in a basement. But when you go inside the police station, you're in her office looking out. She's on the first floor. That one was classic. Oh, I did love that series. I did love it. It's very much of its time, but there you go. Meanwhile, sarcoidosis of the lungs doesn't qualify you for a vaccine. Your state are a bit weird, Kim, if you don't mind me saying. They've got some very weird ideas. I'm sure they've done all the politicians by now, though. Anthony says, I'm sure if it was like World War II, everyone had to carry a gas mask in case Hitler dropped poison gas. No one would say, I'm not going to wear a gas mask. It's against my rights. That's what I mean. Oh, a CPAP mask. It could well be that. Mike's put the time thing. That's my favourite actor wearing that. But that to me is something that if maybe you've been in a situation where One of these people that was on the TV was a girl who said she'd been raped and he'd put his hand across her mouth and she can't have anything across her mouth now. But as Anthony points out, if this was like a sarin gas attack, I'm sure you'd be grabbing the first mask you could get hold of. Like me with my pit of crocodiles, as my mother pointed out. Oh, I can't climb a rope. She said you would with the right incentive, like a pit of crocodiles. She was so pragmatic, my mother. So she wasn't in the slightest bit concerned I couldn't climb a rope. That was because I'd just aced the maths exam, I think. Because the maths exam was like, this is going to take an hour. 10 minutes later, I'm done. Can I go? So I was all right at maths, climbing a rope. No, can't climb a rope to this day. It's a great failing in mine. Good grief, there's a full version. Oh, I'm not going to like this, am I, Pete? I'll have a look. One eye. Oh! Now that, to me, I could understand somebody being a little bit reticent. If we were all walking round outside and that was the mask in question, I could understand reticence. But only understand it. You know, not think, well, I won't wear it. In fact, if we all had one of those, maybe the R rate would go down. Not a bad idea. But I just feel, with it being a very simple, thin face mask, it's the least you can do for other people. But clearly not everyone feels the same, so there you go. Got to agree with Anthony, though. You're quite right. Can you imagine? You know, what you do in that situation, Anthony, is you say to them, are you an anti-masker? Oh, jolly good. Right, well, now we've got this problem where we're about to be sarin gassed and you're not having a mask. You're not allowed one. Then they'd be up in arms because they want one. Maybe that's what we should have done. Some of the people with COVID have like helmet masks. I've seen something similar to that in hospitals. And I must admit, yeah, it's medical, so it freaks me out. But like I say, if that's what you've got to wear, then that's what you've got to wear. But some people are just like Loza Fox, and there are no words. How often have I needed to climb a rope? Now, that was exactly what my mother predicted, Kim. She didn't think I'd ever have a need to climb a rope. And do you know what? She was quite right. I have never needed to climb a rope. But they made that such a kind of rite of passage during the PE lessons that if you couldn't or wouldn't or whatever, you know, you were like laughed at. And this was the thing. You know, if you weren't any good at dance, people could see it. If you were no good at sports, so things like athletics. I once feigned a heart attack to get out of athletics. This was how much I loathed it. But psychology, I was there. We had to do an 800 metre run, which was twice round the track that we had. And the thing was, it wasn't our PE teacher. This was some kind of, she'd taken over because our PE teacher wasn't well. And I thought, I'm not doing that. You must be kidding. Life's too short. So I went round and did the first one and I thought, I'm not doing the second. So at about the 300 metre mark, I started hyperventilating, gasping for breath. And as I'm getting up to the finish line for the first 400, she says, are you OK? And instead of saying, no, I need to sit down, which the answer would have been carry on, I said, I'm fine. Fine. Got to finish it. And she bodily sat me down, which pleased me no end. I'm built for comfort, not speed. And I'm not doing 800 metres. It's as simple as that. But the thing was, if you weren't good at hockey or tennis or netball or dance, people could see it and you got ridicule for it. But if you literally could not add two and two together, you know, instead of me standing there laughing like a hyena at somebody who struggled with maths, they were like, oh, these got to be protected because, you know, they're clearly in need of special needs. I was in need of special care doing the flaming PE, but you didn't. You just got laughed at. Yeah. The things I did in PE to get out of it. Oh, unbelievable. I should write a book. There you go. There was the feigning a heart attack. That was one. There was the buying my way to the back of the queue with the sweets my mother had given me. She was complicit in that. There was the, I'll carry your coat while we do some outdoor rubbish. And then hid under the coats. So there was me underneath 30 coats and she completely missed me. Then there was the one where they sent us out. This was 1979. In the UK, 1979 was a summer that if you lived through it, you wouldn't forget. There was a lot of kids went missing and one of them was Jeanette Tate. And she went missing in this tiny little village and all that was left was her bike with the wheel spinning. And my mum was like watching this with like, oh my God, oh my God. So she was really concerned. They decided, despite the acreage we had that was the school, that we had to go out of the school through this like village and then through a field of wheat. And the wheat was like taller than the kids were. It was the scariest thing since North by Northwest. So I did it once and I went back and I said to my mum, I don't think it's safe. She was horrified, absolutely horrified at the thought. So she said, well, you know, we're not having you doing that. That's ridiculous. But following week, had no choice. Like, we're going out, we're doing this again. And I thought, I'm not. And what we did was we had to run up one side of the canal and then do all this circuitous route. And then you came back down the other side of the canal. So I took a plastic bag with me. What on earth trouble could I get in with a plastic bag? Ah, well, glad you asked. Took my skirt off. Had a spare T-shirt, put them in the plastic bag, swam across the canal, cut 5 miles off the journey, back so early, I caught the PE teachers in their little room, in the changing rooms, drinking gin. That's how fast I was back. And the following week, my mother had had a word, so I didn't leave the premises. After that, I got to, like, just meander around. It's stupid. All I wanted to do was go to the library and read a book. Why do I have to jog round? And it wasn't that I was like idle. Oh, no, no. Because when I got home, I'd play football in the garden for about an hour. But I just found like running around outside the school really stupid. It was by God's good grace, nobody went missing. Honestly. But swimming across the canal was great. Then I took the wet things off, put them in the bag, put the dry ones on and carried on. And then secreted them in my bag when I got back. Oh, yes. Oh, there's another one, Pete. Wow, there's so much equipment here. I should write a TV series about getting out of PE. I was a master at it. A master at it. I was very good at hockey, you're quite right. I was pretty good at tennis as well, when I chose to be. I was on the hockey team. I was pretty good at team sports, but you know that thing of like who gets picked last? I couldn't be doing with that. And people didn't like it if I picked what they called the no-hopers for my team. But I didn't want anybody to be the person who got picked last. Because that's just...
I was usually the person picked last.
Well, I'd been the person who'd been picked last as well. And I didn't like that. But it wasn't appreciated by my team members. So there's no I in team, apparently. I have seen somebody in that kind of mask, Pete, but I don't think it was open at the bottom. Isn't that shape what they use on... when they send in people when there's been like some kind of chemical spillage, it looks a little bit like that. Oh, do they kind of mist up like glasses do? Oh, can you imagine going to a Catinian doing one of those, Mike? Oh, Pete, you're giving me ideas. Can you buy them off Amazon? Because you can pretty much buy anything else.
What, for the next fancy dress do?
No, just because they're idiots and I don't trust them not to be hugging me. You don't come near me. Oh, can you imagine that singing?
You go now in full PPE gear and out goes the virus.
Oh, the next Catinian do is going to be absolutely fabulous. Oh, dear.
But you can get virus costumes, can't you?
You probably can get virus costumed. Anthony, you're right. They could have thought, wow, she's so fast, she should represent the school. That would not have ended well. What position did I play in hockey? I was the goalkeeper. And I was very good at the goalkeeper. Fearless I was. I was the goalkeeper for the first 11, which is usually the sixth form. But I was in third year, fourth year and fifth year and I was the goalkeeper for the school, no matter at what level. We got put in for the county championships. That happened once a year. So we got put in for the county championships, won it the first year. So we goes in, you know, defending champions. And it was a really tight semi-final. Really tight. And one of my imbecilic defenders tripped up one of their players, which meant it was a penalty. If you ever stood there, no helmet, just you, kicker's pads and a hockey stick, and they get to like, fire a cannonball at you, basically. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So I got them all out of the way. Get out of my way. I stand more chance of stopping this if you're out of my way. And they took this penalty and I saved it. So I was I said, get upfield. You know, they all came to celebrate. I said, get upfield and get it in their net, because we still needed one. It was 0-0. Anyway, they did. They did. They listened to me. They did. And we won it. Oh, fantastic. Would be a great costume. I'm definitely going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. When Anthony had his heart surgery at 7, you were in an oxygen tent. You kept taking your oxygen mask off. There's a baby in one of those that Pete's just sent at the bottom. Or is it a doll? It's a doll. So I would imagine something like that. Actually, if that is similar to an oxygen tent, it reminds me of Munich with Busby, who was also in an oxygen tent. That did look like a tent, you know, huge thing over the top of him. None of this pipe business. Proper thing over the top of him. Ah, scary, no masks in those days. No, I'm definitely going to be getting one. Something like that, I think. I don't know what the events are going to be, so we don't know. There's a murder mystery on Friday, isn't there, Mike?
Mm.
That Mike's officiating at. That doesn't mean that you're the police, does it?
No.
It's going to be fun, though. I want to hear all about it.
I'm keeping out of it.
You're just going to keep an eye on it, are you?
Mm.
Oh, you could do that and relay it to us, couldn't you? That would work.
Mm.
Oh, Pete, there's another book. The medical costumes I've seen. Right, I'm going to need to hear all about that. We need to dig out the photograph of Mike dressed as a nurse.
No, we don't.
We do. Because if Pete thinks he's seen some medical costumes already, I've seen anything till you've seen Mike.
Have you got a copy?
I'm sure you've got a copy somewhere. I definitely need a copy. Or you could recreate it. One or the other, Mike. That'll work. Ah, anyway, what a fantastic start to the week. Let's see what tomorrow will bring. More idiocy, I fear. More idiocy. Right, I'm going to have a look at that one, Pete. An Ebola nurse. I'm getting concerned about the fact it says a sexy Ebola nurse. Is there such a thing? Oh, my word. And how does this go down in A&E on a Saturday night, Pete? Oh, that is marginally worse than the one Mike had on. I hats off to you. Absolutely. You still have the worst rates in the States. What can I say, Kim? I would have thought better of your, whatever they call it, state, municipality, whatever it is. I hope things improve and that you get top of the list when you're ready. When you're ready and happy with the vaccine, let's say that. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.